Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
The Penguins clear it away, and here comes Hornquist the other way. Sneak it into the Oilers zone. Goes after his own pass. It comes free to Sheary and a quick shot. Knocked in! Sheary put it up in the air. Did the defenseman knock it in? But Sheary may have gotten that stick on it. The Penguins have scored with a minute 42 to go to take the lead. 4-3. Getting a fast lane. Grandma, the bingo game is ready to roll.
Mike Lang with the call on the Penguins radio network as Sidney Crosby and the Pens beat Connor McDavid and the Oilers last night in Pittsburgh. Great game between them. You may have missed it because of coverage elsewhere. If you wanted to escape, then you probably watched it. All right. The Eagles, who have not played great of late, will take on the Falcons, who have been pretty good all season. Mike Conti joins us from the Falcons Radio Network. Mike, welcome back. And Julio Jones has had a big year. I remember when he was at Alabama, Alabama played Penn State, and Jack Ham and I commented on the broadcast that night that we thought Julio Jones was a great talent, but his problem, too many drops, not consistent. Has he become more consistent with Atlanta?
Well, you know, I think part of it is having an NFL quarterback throwing him the ball. You know, Julio's problem has been since college, not necessarily consistency with catching the ball or running routes or doing receiver things, it's staying healthy. And even a year this year where he's played in all nine games for the Falcons, he's been gimpy. He's been taking himself in and out of the game. He's dealing with a lingering ankle tweak. He's had foot problems his whole career, and he's missed a lot of games. That is the thing that has probably kept Julio from being in the discussion for maybe the number one overall player in this league, because he is so gifted and so talented. And, you know, you ask corners and safeties around the league, name your top three wide receivers. Julio is almost unanimously in that conversation, but for whatever reason, he just has not been able to stay healthy. But I think having a very good NFL quarterback like Matt Ryan throwing him the ball and, you know, putting the ball in places where he can make plays has really, really helped him develop. He's certainly the biggest star on this Falcons team, and he's a big reason why they're 6-3 right now.
Well, you mentioned Matt Ryan a couple of times in that answer, Mike. I've always felt he's one of the, you know, there's that upper tier of like 5-6 quarterbacks, and I always felt Matt was in that second tier. What's opened the door for him to advance?
Very interesting offseason here in Atlanta. This is the second year with his offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. The first year did not go very well. And what emerged in the offseason from the owner, Arthur Blank, and I don't know if he revealed this accidentally or if he meant to put it out there, is that Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan had some problems communicating. And Kyle Shanahan came in here to Atlanta with his system, and it was not necessarily a system that fit Matt Ryan's skill set. And this past off season, it seemed as though, however they did it, they got on the same page, and they're running an offense right now that fits Matt's skill set a little bit better. I agree with you, Steve. I mean, I think if you look at number of championships won, number of playoff games won, overall career statistics, you can't put Matt Ryan in the same group with Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning. He's only won one playoff game his whole career. But this season, if you look at it statistically, leads the league in passing yards, second in the league in yards per attempt, second in the league in quarterback rating, first in the league in passing touchdowns. He's having an MVP-type season right now, and his team is 6-3, and he's a big reason why. And I would not be shocked at all if by the end of this year, if Matt Ryan stays at this pace, and he's on pace to have a 5,300-yard season,
right.
If he stays at this pace, he's going to be in the discussion for MVP.
Well, 23 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Has he found a way to be far more careful with the ball, not force it as often?
The four interceptions would seem to prove so, although, you know, here in Atlanta, for whatever reason, he has taken heat because two of those interceptions have come on his final offensive possession of regulation, and it's produced two losses to Seattle and to San Diego. Now, on one of the interceptions, the ball went off Julio Jones' hand. It would have been a tough catch, but it went off his hand. So he gets a little bit of slack for that, in my opinion. But, he's done a really, really good job protecting the football. But I think a big key to that, Steve, has been he's getting better protection now. He's got cleaner pockets. Thomas Dimitroff, who just got a contract extension this week to stay on as general manager of the Falcons, made a big priority in the offseason to go get out all-pro center Alex Mack from the Cleveland Browns. That's completely changed this offensive line. Matt Ryan's not running for his life anymore and making rushed throws under pressure, and that, in turn, has kept his turnover numbers down.
Between Freeman and Coleman and that offensive line, have they been able to balance this offense enough to really make you guess?
For the most part, when they get unbalanced is when they're trailing and they start chasing the game.
Sure.
They missed Tevin Coleman. He got hurt in the second half of the San Diego game a couple weeks ago. He did not play against Green Bay. He did not play against Tampa, and I'm not sure, Steve, if he's going to be able to play against Philadelphia. But Coleman, the one thing they really like doing with him is throwing him the ball out of the backfield. The play is essentially a run, but it's scored as a pass by the scorekeeper because it's a little bit towards the line of scrimmage. But as you know, having seen him in Indiana, I mean, if you get him in the open field, he's very, very dangerous. His problem has been ball security, but he really, really worked on that on the offseason, and he has not had a problem with that this year. And then Devontae Freeman is more of a between the tackles, juker who can make men miss. And the Falcons have a really nice thing going there. It's almost as though an opposing defensive coordinator needs to pick his poison. It's either going to be key in on the run and take your chances with Julio up top, or key in on stopping Julio and Mohamed Sanu and then just kind of letting the Falcons do whatever on the ground.
Yeah, but here's where the wild ride comes into play. They're 26th in the NFL in total defense. What has been the issue?
They're 26th in total defense, but they're 8 against the run.
Yeah.
So the numbers get a little distorted. I think two things here, Steve, I'm not trying to downplay that number. That's a significant number. They've had problems on defense. They've had a lot of injury problems, and they're so young. They have two rookies starting at linebacker right now. Their third linebacker is a second-year player. They've got a rookie starting at safety. They've got a second-year guy on left corner right now with Desmond Trufant possibly hurt. So they're very, very young. But one thing that has happened with this offense rolling the way it is for the Falcons, they're scoring quickly. So the defense is spending a lot of time on the field. And also the Falcons are quickly getting up by two or three scores.
Right, good point.
And I think sometimes defenses have a chance to get out of their base a little bit. And, you know, the Tampa game, for example, I think the final score of that was 40-24 or something like that. But the last 14 points that Tampa scored came in garbage time. So I think if you look a little bit more closely at the numbers and take the meaningful snaps that the defense is on the field, it's probably a little bit better than it seems.
Right, yeah, no question about that. And this is, look, that's Dan Quinn's baby, too. I mean, that was his MO coming up through. What kind of job has he done overall?
He's done a terrific job. Arthur Blank, the owner, loves him. Players love him. I mentioned that Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager, got a 3-year extension this week. He was on the hot seat. And really, what probably saved his job here in Atlanta was Dan Quinn going to bat for him. Dan Quinn speaks openly about how he loves building this team with Thomas Dimitroff. And that endorsement of Thomas Dimitroff went straight to the owner, and they extended him. So now their contracts are running concurrently for the next 3 years. He really came in here with a project, personnel-wise. And it's taken them 2 years to kind of acquire the pieces that they need to run the type of Seattle defense that he ran when he was with Pete Carroll on the West Coast. And a lot of it has been through drafting, but the pieces are starting to fall into place now. And if they can stay healthy, I think this defense is going to look very, very similar to the Legion of Boom defense that Seattle had when they were making their Super Bowl runs. But they just need to mature and get healthy.
How do you view the matchup with Philadelphia, which seemed to grab some fool's gold against Pittsburgh, but has faltered since?
lost four of their last five since. The thing that concerns me for the Falcons is Philadelphia's number four in the league in sacks.
Right.
And the Falcons have had some trouble with athletic defensive lines. Joey Bosa really gave the Falcons problems a couple weeks ago here in Atlanta when the Chargers were in town. So keeping a clean pocket for Matt Ryan is going to be the key. The other huge loss potentially, and we don't know yet if he's going to play Sunday or not, but Desmond Trufant, who is a Pro Bowl caliber corner, suffered a shoulder injury that was a little bit mysterious against Tampa. No one really saw him do it. He had an MRI. Then he had a second opinion, which is generally not a good sign, Steve, as you know. But then we found out that he's just kind of day-to-day, and they're going to work him through the week and see if he can play on Sunday. If he can't play, the Falcons have a real problem. They have Robert Alford, who's among the league leaders in penalties taken by a corner on one side. Then you would have Jalen Collins, who's coming off a four-game suspension, very, very young, very green out of LSU, on the other corner. Now, I know Philadelphia doesn't like to go downfield a whole lot. Their offense is predicated on checkdowns, but there could be a real chance for Carson Wentz to go deep on this Falcons defense with so much youth and inexperience on the corners.
One final question, Mike, I'll let you go. And San Diego just rejected its stadium. Atlanta is going to get a state-of-the-art $1 billion retractable dome that opens next season. It's being built right next to the Georgia Dome. You see it all the time, Mike. What does it look like?
Oh, my God. They just gave us a tour a week or two ago. We're going to do a broadcast in there next week. It's hard to describe. It's very, very tall. The pitch of the seats is very, very steep. So if you ever fly into Atlanta to connect to go to Disney World or something like that, you'll see it from the plane. It's going to be very prominent on the skyline. It's a compact footprint, but it's very, very tall. And the roof structure, it's a retractable roof, but it will open and close like a pinwheel. It's very, very unique. It'll have a very distinct architectural look. And, Steve, when you come down for the Peach Bowl on New Year's Eve, I'll be happy to give you a tour.
I look forward to it very much, under that, especially under that scenario. That's great. And Super Bowl 53, I believe, is going to be there. So.
Mike. Correct, and we're gonna have a Final Four. We're gonna have a college football national championship. Lots of exciting things.
Lots of great stuff, Mike. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time. It's always great to hear you on the other end.
You too, Steve. I'm so glad you're having a great season. By the way, keep it up.
All right, thanks, Mike. Mike Conti from the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. They have the Eagles coming up this week. More in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. 1-800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in. College football playoff rankings. Yes, Penn State's at 10, but the top four right now, it would be Alabama against Washington, 1-4. Clemson versus Michigan, 2-3. Ohio State lurking in the 5 spot. As we still have 3 more weeks of this to go, and actually 4 more weeks of this to go, because you still have that extra layer of conference championship games coming up on December 3rd. But we are in the home stretch of this. Penn State, Indiana, Saturday, noon. We're on at 10:30 with the Dietz and Watson Tailgate Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Indiana's a good team. Richard Lego, the quarterback, good arm. You know, can sometimes be inaccurate, but can throw the deep ball pretty well. Originally committed to Oklahoma State, then went the JC route, and now here he is at Indiana. He's been very good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about his play compared to Nate Sudfeld from last year, year before.
Sudfeld makes fewer mistakes, which you would expect. Sudfeld's an older player. But Sudfeld would make fewer mistakes than Richard Lego. Every once in a while, he'll force one in here and force one there, and it doesn't lead to good results. And then other times he gets the ball in there and it's a beauty and they gain yards. And they'll stretch the field. They'll throw, I bet they throw 5 to 10 chunk play passes in there. Ricky Jones, number 4, good player. Westbrook, 15, good receiver. Number Donovan Hale, number 10. And Mitchell Page. Mitchell Page I like. He just, guy walked on there. He's not big in stature. He just knows where the chains are, runs work great routes, has really good hands, returns punts. Finally gave him a scholarship this year, which he earned. Up front, good offensive line, not great. Feeney, the left guard, is very good. The other four, a little up and down. And Devine Redding, I like as a running back a lot. Really built up top and quick. Defensively, okay defensive line. Matt Hoff, 74, very good. You know, I've already talked about him this week. Tigray Scales, linebacker, really good. Marcus Oliver, the other linebacker, 44, good. Marcellus Ball, 42, is their hybrid. A little bit of safety, a little bit of outside linebacker. He's very good. Like the two safeties, Crawford and Fields a lot. Chase Dutra is another good third safety in there for them. Corners are okay. Corners are okay. Not great, okay. Rashad Fan, 16, is probably the better of the two corners. Riggins, the freshman, the other side, okay. Ben Bach, the backup, okay. And the kicking game, I don't know. Page is an excellent returner. That's known. Oak should be one of the better kickers in the country. But they have blocked four kicks. They've had four kicks blocked. So in the kicking game, they're exciting. And the atmosphere, we talked about, people talk about going out to Indiana for the game as opposed to Purdue. The atmosphere in Indiana for football right now is much better than Purdue. In fact, James is using crowd noise and is using noise and music in practice this week. He did not for the Purdue game. Wanted them to create their own excitement, their own juice. This time he's pumping crowd noise in there. And also part of it, too, is that he has now been to the stadium once, so he knows how loud it can get. Ever since they closed up the north end, which would be the end to my left, that stadium has become louder. So that's just a thumbnail on what I think is a good Indiana team. Our number 800-795-9565. Other games in the Big Ten. Michigan State's got Rutgers this week. Michigan is at Iowa. Let's see, Ohio State. I think Ohio State is Maryland this week. Then Ohio State gets Michigan State next week.
How surprised are you at Michigan State so far being 0-4 in the conference?
Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. If, for those people who have listened to this show for the last 6 to 8 months, I did say several times, and I said this in speaking engagements, that this was an interesting crossroads year for Michigan State. And I said that I did not expect them to be at the same level they were last year. In fact, I said they would fall back. And that this was a critical time of, did Mark D'Antonio take advantage of Penn State trying to recover and take advantage of Michigan going through so many transitions? I said they took great advantage of it, but now that Michigan is back and rolling, now that Penn State has suddenly hit the fast track, where does that put Michigan State in this? I had said that the offensive line would not be as good, that losing their receivers was huge, and the change in quarterback was bigger than people realize. And I think their front's good. McDowell's still one of the better. Malik McDowell, number four, one of the better defensive linemen in the game. I like their linebackers. I think their secondary is good. But of the games that they have lost in this run, the one that really took me aback was last week's game with Illinois. Like, I sat back, I'm watching this, I said, are you kidding me? So did I expect over? No. Did I expect them to maybe struggle and be around 500? Yes, I did, because, and you can go back and check all the tapes on this show, the number of times I said it. And that wasn't being mean or cruel. I was trying to analyze what I saw in the talent loss of that team, that they had had great losses at wideout and on the offensive line and at quarterback. And I was wondering how well they could survive with those kind of losses. Now, they've got Rutgers this week.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, if anybody can unify the country, it can be an agreeing Joe McGranahan and Mark Lawrence.
Mario must have heard you waxing poetic about Monty Python lately. So I sneaked
yes.
in.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, now, our sports bozo of the day. I'm sorry. And maybe I'm the one for questioning this. But it's brain training. Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, they do it. Using strobe lighting. All right. So, somebody came up with this idea. Strobe lighting.
During practice? During shoot-around?
In his Bulls heyday, Michael Jordan declared he wanted to train with strobe lights, like from a nightclub. His longtime trainer, Tim Grover, of Attack Athletics, says that to understand why, you only have to watch an old video of Jordan. You watch old clips of MJ at the free throw line. He says you see flashes. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's the worst secret ever. So the blinding light of photographers' flashes obliterate the screen repeatedly. That's why they want to train with strobe lights. And so these guys today train with strobe lights because they want their brain to recondition. Now, we know this doesn't work. Because when he was in the hospital, we tried this with the suit. And what? Did I say something funny? Is there an issue here?
No, that was funny.
Is there an issue with what I'm saying? Was I not supposed to reveal it? I mean, we were trying to do anything to get the brain in gear. Anything. And his family approved it because, you know, they thought, hey, much worse could it get? Oh, how is the suit? Did he make another sale? Or?
Fingers crossed. Open.
Okay, so that'll be a no. Okay.
No, actually, he did get a car buy for later in the week.
So he bought himself a car. Okay. Now, we're hoping that, like, we...
he did get one.
So we're hoping that, like, something benefits us, not just him. I mean, no offense.
We got cars covered in this two-hour portion of the day. We're good.
Oh, we do.
We good.
Sunbury Motors. You know, you can handpick anybody, it'd be them. And we're lucky we got them. So, well, good. So
yes, we have the suit in our sales team actually hunkered down for a couple of days.
Well, I'm glad that the suit made a sale.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I wouldn't go around and now say, hey, it's been quite a year I made one. I mean, that's not the approach I'd take, but, you know.
Early in the month, got to keep it going. No pressure.
Well, this is the one for the year. I mean, my fear is he's got to coast home now.
I didn't say it was an annual buy. I didn't say.
Just telling you. I mean, I know this guy.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, you're not talking to a rookie here. Todd Blackledge coming up on the show on Friday. So looking forward to that. We've been trying to get Todd on the show, and now we get Todd on the show. And we only go back 36 years. Figure we'd try this.
It was going to happen sooner or later.
Oh, yeah. No, we were... All those threatening. I read the email chain. I mean, could you have been any more threatening? I mean,
it was the point where you started groveling.
Well, the part where you started. Well, it's cease and desist, right? And then I'm just kidding. We want you on the show. I mean, I finally had to try to do something to get your attention.
I wasn't sure if the email went through.
So. A different way of approaching it. We've got the Friday night. Obviously, we talked about Friday night Big Ten football package. I saw the games and what Nebraska and Illinois are in it. Northwestern's actually on twice next year. On Friday night. Now, Penn State's not a part of this. Neither is Ohio State or Michigan. But that's I don't know. I'm not on board with this. I mean, I know for certain teams it's going to be good, but it's only going to be good to a point. And here's the reason why. Okay, yeah, you'll get national exposure, which is good, but you're playing on Friday night. What are high school prospects doing on Friday night? Oh, they're playing the same time you are. So does that benefit you? I'm not so sure. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. And I just, this entire television package is going to be interesting. It's going to be $240 million a year from Fox, $190 million a year from ESPN, $10 million a year from CBS. That's a basketball-only package. And then the revenue they get from the Big Ten Network. And that's not bad. I mean, you're not talking about loose change here. I think it's in the neighborhood of about 110 to 120 million a year for the conference. And each school, I think somebody said each school will get in the neighborhood when it's all said and done of 40 to 41 million a year per school. Now that's going to obviously do a lot for facilities and things like that, but you still have to make up financial gaps here. And I know you see this money, and it's hard. It's hard to hear the numbers and say, "Oh, well, do they need any more money?" But for example, I'll give you Penn State has Giving Tuesday coming up. Giving Tuesday will be Tuesday, November 29th. This is the third year they've done it. And they'd like to, from the athletics point of view, you can give it to any part of the university. From the athletics point of view, which is really kind of a driver behind this, is they'd like to give to the Levi Lamb Fund. And this will be something when Phil Esten is on the network talk show tomorrow night. I'm going to talk to Phil about football scheduling, which he is deeply a part of. So we're going to get into football scheduling tomorrow. But we're also going to get into Giving Tuesday and the Levi Lamb Fund. And what's the money from the Levi Lamb Fund do? Well, it helps in cost of attendance, which now athletic departments have to pay. And it also helps with the nutrition fueling stations, which run about $1 million a year for athletic departments to pay. And you still have all these expenses on top of the fact that you're going to be getting this additional TV money. My problem I have is that I think that you have to have enough pride in your product where you can dictate some of the terms yourself. Now, it's not in the same realm as the Masters. The Masters doles it out on a yearly contract, and CBS is bought into it every year. But with it, you got to play their game. And their game means that there's 56 minutes of golf every hour and 4 minutes of commercials. That's it. And you limit it to one insurance company, one car company, and I don't know what the other two stipulations happen to be on sponsors. And they have to approve the sponsor. And I would think at some point, you know, that, you know, let's take Fox. I mean, Fox really needed the Big Ten. And this is going to work out for the Big Ten. And I think some people had seen the Big East Basketball Championship, which had been so highly rated on ESPN, move over to Fox Sports 1 and draw, I think, like 500,000 viewers as opposed to 1.8 million. And so people were having questions about whether or not going to Fox Sports 1 would be a good idea. Well, the Cubs showed up. And when the Cubs showed up in the National League Championship Series against the Dodgers, the ratings on FS1 skyrocketed. They beat ESPN every night that the Cubs were on. Every night, regardless, they beat them when the Cubs were on. That sent a powerful signal to the Big Ten that they had made the right move by going with Fox and Fox Sports 1. But yeah, you want to have that ESPN outlet. You know, I mean, I think it's important to keep the ESPN outlet. I thought that was very smart what they did. Very smart. By keeping ESPN in the mix. But the Fox Sports 1 component's not only going to be money, but you, the fans, you just want to go. As long as you know where to find the games, you'll find the games. That's what it told me. As long as you know where to find it, you'll find it. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us here in the home stretch. 800-795-9565. High school football, one of our topics tomorrow. Also coming up tomorrow, my brother with his picks. Looking forward to that on tomorrow's show. And Nathan Davis, Bucknell basketball opening up this week. Coming up on Friday, Todd Blackledge on the show. And Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star to talk about Indiana football. Indiana's a good football team. They're better defensively than they were. Passing game's good, running game's good. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a very good game. It'll be a noon start, 10:30 the airtime. The Steelers have the Cowboys this week. You put the game on the list of picks.
Mm-hmm.
Your pick mm-hmm. is going to be the one we'll all wait for. Because we want to know if you're limping around the station because you jumped off the bandwagon.
No. That didn't happen.
So you're picking the Steelers.
I will pick the Steelers. Yeah. Why wait till tomorrow? I will definitely pick the Steelers.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, you'll be the only one. All right. They need the game.
They sure do.
They need the game. Now, I won't be able to watch it, really, because I've got a basketball game at 6, which we'll have on here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, 5:30 the airtime on Sunday with Duquesne. So what I have here is I've got in the next, starting on Saturday, in a 14-day span, I've got 8 games. 5 basketball, 3 footballs. This is the crossover. And it's just fine with me. I always enjoy this time of the year very much. Yeah, is there a little extra work preparing? Yeah, sure there is. So what? But I like the crossover. It's like I enjoy the crossover baseball to football. I like the crossover from football to basketball, too. It breaks up the boredom of the evenings, doesn't it? That's what I have. What? Football Saturday, basketball Sunday, basketball Tuesday, basketball football Saturday, basketball Sunday, basketball Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, football Saturday. There you go. Not bad.
Nope.
Meanwhile, the suit bought himself a car. Is that what you say? Bought himself a car?
I don't know if that was part of the deal or not.
I mean, did it benefit us in any way, this car?
It added to the coffers. I can just leave it at that. So,
you mean like for us, the station?
Yeah. This hopefully be a domino. Hopefully be a domino effect. A domino effect. You know, one buy will lead to another buy, and kind of like that classic shampoo commercial. You know, she told two friends, and so on, and so on. Remember that? Remember that shampoo commercial from the '70s?
Does the suit know he has to give up the money? Just asking. If tomorrow we're just not going to stick to Sealands Grove football tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about Montoursville, Jersey Shore, Southern Columbia. So we're going to vary it up tomorrow.
We will. We will have Todd Hummel, sports writer from the Daily Item. He'll pop in and see us and be with us in the studio. And Pat O'Brien, of course, with the Seals. Yeah, we will have the Sealands Grove Jersey Shore game on 94KX on Friday night, since we have Bucknell on Eagle 107.
Oh.
Have the Seals over on 94KX. So.
Yeah, Bucknell basketball is on Friday.
Bucknell basketball. Yep. The season opener versus Manhattan.
Manhattan's good. It's a good opener. Not bad at all.
So, yeah, looking forward to hear from Coach Davis tomorrow at 4:06.
The Jaspers in town. I know you're a big fan.
Yeah. Then they have they're at Wake Forest on Sunday. That also, the Bucknell basketball game will be on 94KX on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
Yes. Since the Eagles will be on Eagle 107, the Steelers on 100.9 The Valley, Penn State basketball here on WKOK will have Bucknell Hoops on 94KX. Big Sports Sunday.
All sponsored by everybody the suit got. No? That wasn't it?
Quite a few may have been locked in while he was still on this side of the building.
Yeah, by a great sports...
by a great ad team.
Ad team out there getting it done.
Sis boom ba. rah, rah. Go team, go.
I'll give him a pep talk. I remember when they were building... You'll love this. They were building Haluba Hall. So I'm going back, 30-plus years, like 31 years ago. So building Haluba Hall. And Sean is going slowly. I mean, they were building the Ag Arena just about the same time. I remember Gil Santos, and Gil got in touch with me this week. We exchanged a couple of emails. I got to write a more extensive one tonight. But I was driving Gil in from the airport. He'd flown in from Boston. And he goes, oh, check out that Stefano. That's what he always called me. He says, it's like in the past week, they laid another brick. Well, Haluba Hall was going so slow. And I was sitting there getting ready to tape the pregame show with Joe, because I was the third announcer at the time, and that was one of my responsibilities, to tape the pregame show. And Bud Tallman was sitting there with Joe. And he says, and Joe says, hey, Bud, what's the deal with the indoor facility? And he says, Joe, he says, it's just taking a while to get it done. He says, well, maybe you ought to go over and give him a pep talk. And Joe sits up. He goes, Bud, I already gave him 3 pep talks. You tell him to get it done. Now, I mean, I'm what, 27 years old at the time?
Cub reporter.
All right, so I just like, inside I'm laughing, but outside I'm just nodding going, yep, I'm with you all the way. It's just his reaction was what made me laugh, not the fact they didn't get it done. He says, I'm giving him 3 pep talks. Tell him to get it done. Snow is starting to fly at that point. He wanted to go indoors. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.